Morse code. Okay, everyone, let's get started. Welcome to Communications 101. The goal for today is to orient you to the class, set expectations, and let you reaffirm your desire to take this course. There are other alternatives. As you may know, two other instructors teach this course. Professor Magdalena Gomez, who is the author of the textbook we use for this class, is an outstanding teacher. Another alternative is Professor Copeland, whose style of lecturing is one of the most intriguing you will ever come across. If you stay in this class, you are expected to participate, to think creatively, and to allow your emotions to become an agent of your own change. If by the end of today you have not been touched deeply, or if you are not thinking seriously about the essence of communications, then it is my humble request that you drop this class. Are there any questions? The class was quiet. No one moved, and no one even coughed. Professor Woods smiled in the direction of the class, but remained quiet. Then he started to speak again. Okay, let's start on today's lesson. First off, who can tell me a little about the telegraph? When the first message was sent? And just what is Morse code? The students, who were still reeling from the professor's somewhat stern welcome, remained silent for a long time. Finally, a young man sitting near the front of the large auditorium raised his hand. "Yes, please, go ahead." The young man spoke so softly that only the professor and a few other students could hear him. "Wonderful. Now please stand up, turn towards the class, and speak as loudly as you can." The young man stood up nervously, turned, and started to speak. "Samuel Morse invented the telegraph and something we call Morse code. Morse code uses a series of short and long sounds to represent the letters of the alphabet. Mr. Morse built the first telegraph line between Washington, D.C. and Baltimore. On May 24, 1844, he sent out the first message." "Wonderful. Thank you," said Professor Woods. The young man, looking somewhat elated, turned back towards the professor and then sat down. Professor Woods continued, "As the technology evolved, the basic system was automated so that these dots and dashes were converted into letters and printed on small rolls of paper tape. They were cut into strips and pasted onto telegram forms for delivery to their respective recipients. Those who created the earliest business models made the decision to charge by the word instead of by the character. Thus, for example, the words happiness and joy each cost the same. As telegrams became part of everyday life, a style of writing developed based on the economics of the per-word charge. Because long words cost the same as short ones, and punctuation marks were charged as a word, a new style of writing was born. In it, short, unnecessary words were dropped, and the word stop was used to end sentences. Please take out a paper and change the following sentence into telegraphic style." Professor Woods then turned and wrote on the board, "Dear John, it is my pleasure to inform you of the date of the upcoming marriage of your cousin Josephine. She will be married on July 14th at 2 in the afternoon. You and your family are invited to the wedding. Please respond as soon as possible." The professor turned back towards the class, and gave the students a few moments to complete the task. Then he spoke again. "Who wants to share his version?" A few brave students raised their hands. "Okay, you, there in the very back row, stand up, speak slowly and clearly while I write it on the board." The young lady stood up and read her rendition of the wedding invitation. "John, pleasure invite you and family, wedding, cousin Josephine, July 14th, 2 p.m. stop. Please RSVP ASAP." After writing the last words on the board, Professor Wood swirled around and said, "Wonderful. You got the idea. Let's have a few more." After hearing three other versions of the same wedding invitation, he pronounced, "You are now ready for the story. When the story is over, class will be finished for today, and you may leave." The story begins in the 1930s with a young man named Walter and his father named Douglas. They were in the middle of an argument. It was not the first time they had argued over small things, but as it turns out, it was the last. The argument started over the definition of sky blue and ended with the son packing up his clothes and leaving home. Both men were stubborn, both knew they were right, and neither was thinking about the future. It was a sad day for their families and a sad start to a long chapter in each of their respective lives. 15 years later, Walter had married and was in the process of raising three children when another tragedy struck. Walter had ignored the pain in his chest for far too long. By the time the doctor saw him, it was too late. From his hospital bed, he wrote a letter to his father. His dear wife, Cynthia, took the letter to the telegraph station and inquired about the cost of sending it. With the help of the operator, they cut it down to its essentials and sent it to the father-in-law she had never met. The following morning, the telegram was delivered. Walter's father walked slowly from the front door back to the kitchen table where he had been reading the morning newspaper. He opened the envelope and began to read. "Douglas Fontana, 128 Clare Avenue, Greenville, Kentucky. Dearest father, mother, stop. Was stubborn most of my life, now coming end fast, stop. Bottom heart, beg forgiveness not contacting you sooner, stop. Love for you and mom never died, stop. Many years, much water under bridge, stop. Married Cynthia 8 years ago, stop. You have grandchildren, Carl, Barbara, and Richard, stop. Only threshold death overcame my stubborn ego, stop. Doctor gives 2 days life maximum, stop. Only desire now your forgiveness and meet family, stop. Deepest love, your son, Walter." Douglas wept and moaned as he read and reread the telegram he had just received. He folded the now damp paper and put it into the pocket of his shirt. He walked slowly to the front door, opened it, and walked outside. He was so emotionally unsettled, he didn't remember to close the door. He walked towards town, only knowing he would send a reply. After 10 failed attempts at framing his thoughts, he finally felt he was ready. A nice woman at the telegraph office helped him shorten his emotional reply. Walter Fontana, care of Mercy Hospital, San Francisco. Dear Walter, receive telegram with open heart, tears, joy, stop. Sad inform passing mother, 2 years ago, stop. Desire you understand depth my love before passing, stop. Tell Cynthia, Carl, Barbara, Richard, visit soon, stop. Big empty house here, lonely grandfather, stop. My health also poor, we'll meet again soon, stop. Forgive all past, stop. Love you, bottom heart, stop. Dad. Walter then walked back through the park, where he sat and thought about his son until late afternoon. Much later, as he was arriving home, the telegram delivery man was calling through his still open front door. He signed for the delivery and then walked inside. He went to the kitchen and put water on the stove to boil. Then he sat down and opened the envelope. He was ill prepared for the news it contained. Douglas Fontana, 128 Clare Avenue, Greenville, Kentucky. Dear Dad, stop. Walter no longer able reply, stop. Read your telegram, love, stop. Walter cried, tears, joy, stop. Requested, tell Dad, I love you, stop. After telegram, Walter slept, then related dream, stop. In dream, saw you, mountain, blue sky, walking hand in hand, stop. Last words requested me, promise visit you, stop. Minutes later, smiled, took last breath, stop. Arriving train 7, Sunday, March 21, stop. Love, Cynthia, Carl, Barbara, Richard, stop. Professor Woods removed a handkerchief from his pocket, wiped his own wet eyes, and then looked into the hearts of his newly initiated students. Then, without any further words, he walked silently out of the side door. The students took time to realize where they were and where they had been. Slowly, one by one, they got up, and taking care to avoid eye contact, they walked out of the large auditorium. All but a few would return on Wednesday.